Welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. This is your host, Eric Steven. I also have Jacob Birch with me today. Jacob,
hello.
How are you doing?
Doing well.
This is not the lineup, but it is leading off. That means it's Dodgers Rewind time, and it's someone we've talked about before, Jigger Stats. We talked about him back in May 2020 when we... Remember, this was two months into the pandemic. We were hurting for content. We wanted to try to draft a team of ragtag players in the style of the movie Major League. And I believe our rules were no more than one war with the Dodgers, and they had to play at least one full season with the team. So we had like a list of players to choose from, and of course, we gravitated toward Jigger Stats because his name is Jigger Stats. And I don't want to say I wrote him off at the time, but it was more like, oh, cool name. I'm really glad we went back and are going to figure out exactly other stuff about him, because he is incredible. Like, there's a lot of stuff here. I will say I do have a vague memory of hearing Vin Scully saying the name Jigger Stats at some point. I think this was a part of a 1990 video that the Dodgers made when it was their 100th anniversary in the National League. And I believe the segment in question was Vin Scully referencing a lot of colorful names of like this sort of down period for the Dodgers in between 1920 and then the 40s when they got good again. But he mentioned like Van Lingle Mungo, Burley Grimes, and Jigger Stats. I believe so. Maybe I'm retconning that, but I think that's where I first heard the name, but didn't know anything about him. Now, Stats is Stats with the Dodgers in 1927 and 1928 for Brooklyn. Kind of ordinary, 264, 310, 339, 73 OPS plus in 207 games, and totaled 0.1 war. So perfect for our Major League team. However, that vastly undersells his incredible baseball life. Arnold Jigger Stats. I do have trivia for you, Jacob, regarding our friend Jigger Stats. His first season with Brooklyn was 1927. He had 139 hits, a classic baseball number that everybody remembers.
Yeah, it's the traditional, you know, like hitting 300 or...
Right. Hey, he got 139 hits on the nose. Remember that classic season? We all talk about it. 13 other Dodgers have reached 139 hits exactly in one season. How many can you name?
Is that the question? Four.
You are
not going to name them for you.
That's right. Well, you're wrong then. It's double.
No. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll yeah, we'll see how I can do.
That's our episode. No,
goodbye, everybody.
So I will just say this was one of the.
I want to note that when you texted, when you didn't, I actually guessed somehow that this is what that you would be doing, Jigger Stats. And I was upset and still am that we're not doing a full length hour long episode on him.
Look, I don't know if you've seen all the notes I have. This might be a pretty long episode. So yeah, here's how this came about. Like, I believe I said, hey, we're gonna record a rewind this week too. And you said Jigger Stats. And that made me, because I was trying to think of someone like the 2 weeks ago, and we ended up not recording one. And then so I was like, well, I'm gonna run with that because that's a good idea. And then the more I found, the more I was like, Jacob is a genius. This is wonderful. So first of all, his name is Arnold Stats. Now, Baseball Reference went back and like he's listed as Arnold Stats now there, but it says he referred to in, perhaps in other places as Jigger. So he was 5'7", listed only at 150 by Baseball Reference. So there's a little bit more about his weight later. He was thought of as an excellent center fielder. This is from Holy Cross, where Stats played both college baseball and golf. Because Arnold was a diminutive little mite, his family and neighborhood pals referred to him as Jigger, an alternative name for the annoying pest better known as a chigger. Now, as you might imagine, this is not something you want to say over and over again for fear of slipping up and saying, say the wrong word. But I understand why perhaps it's not on Baseball Reference, at least in that regard, but I'm not saying that's the only reason. But the Dodgers acquired stats from the Cubs after the 1926 season. The Brooklyn Times Union was not having it. Newspapers.com, I did a good search on there, and there's just some really fun stuff. But the headline in this was the Brooklyn Daily Times. Coming of Jigger stats sets Dodgers to worrying over 1927. It's like, wow, welcome to the club. So to be fair, the article wasn't so much like dissing stats himself, but rather the signaling that this was going to be a massive roster overhaul from the paper. Quote, "The news that Arnold Jigger stats will be a Dodger in 1927 brought home the fact that for many of the boys, it won't be long now. There will be a plethora of new faces at Ebbets Field next season and an absence of familiar ones. The players know that last year's house cleaning was mild compared to the one that will take place this winter." So if you look back, 1920, the Dodgers won the pennant. It was their second in 5 years. But then they hovered around 500 the next 3 years. 1924, they got good again, and they lost the pennant by a game and a half to the Giants. But in 1925 and 26, they were well under 500, and they were sixth place in both years in an 8-team National League. So they were kind of floundering. That's where this sort of angst was coming from. And then the problem got worse when Stats got off to a slow start. He started his first three games, but he only went 1-for-11. And then they basically benched him. He only played once in the next 9 games, and that was only as a pinch hitter once. During that time, while on the bench, the Dodgers offered Stats to the minor league Oakland Oaks. They were not affiliated with a major league team at the time. A lot of the minors were independent at this point. They were not quite, it was getting close to where some teams had affiliates, not quite there yet. They offered him to Oakland for a 28-year-old power hitting outfielder named Buzz Arlette, who hit 93 home runs in the previous 3 years. The Dodgers offered Stats for Buzz straight up. Again, there's going to be a lot of this, but the names in this story are incredible. But the Oakland said, LOL, no, that was not a quote in the paper, as you might imagine. But the Oakland Oaks GM told the Los Angeles Evening Post Record, this is from, again, the author of this article, Stubb Nelson. What are we doing here? This is great. This is from the Oakland Oaks GM. It's not easy to picture a clown outfielder like Arlette, despite his admitted hitting ability, as being more valuable than Jigger. So people just letting stuff fly in the 1920s in the newspaper. This brought up a running theme in many stories I found, knowing that Stats was not much of a hitter, at least in the majors. This was in May 1927, Jimmy Wood in the Brooklyn Times Union. He praised Stats' defense and base running prowess, and then he added, quote, "The trouble with Mr. Stats, however, was he didn't get to first base often enough to please his manager. He had that willow of weakness, which keeps many a star fielder out from under the flaps of the big tents." What in the hell? What is he talking about? But his defense was so good that Duke Snyder reportedly called him the greatest center fielder I ever saw. This is from the Corona Del Mar Historical Society, described Stats like this, quote, "Stats was known for his tremendous speed, positioning, and that he cut out the palm of his glove to get a better feel for the ball." I put a picture of the glove in our show notes. I will put that in the notes on the post. But what an incredible relic this is. It looks amazing. It's like a classic old-timey glove, as you might imagine, but then literally a hole in the middle. So, man, what a legend already.
Not a tiny hole either.
No, you could fit more than a baseball in that hole. It's wild. Just before 1928 opening day, a headline in the Brooklyn Citizen said, "Jigger Stats has finally changed his batting stance." Subhead, "Crack outfielder trying to win his old job in center field." So there were several articles over a few years that mentioned how good of a golfer Stats was. The Brooklyn Times Union in 1932 did so while mentioning his hitting. Quote, perhaps the greatest golfer among baseball players was Jigger Stats, former Dodger and Cub outfielder, now back on the Pacific Coast. Jigger ranked among the top notchers of the links, but he never was much of a big league batter. Still, I don't think his love of golf hurt his hitting ability. He wouldn't have been a better batter had he never hit a golf ball. There was a lot of this, like, really condescending stuff like in these papers is great. Okay, Otto Miller was a longtime Dodgers catcher and then later a coach. He was a coach when they had Stats. And in 1934, he looked back. This is also just incredible. Quote, many times I saw Stats drive a golf ball over the treetops. He was a picture teeing up. Yet with that beautiful swing on the ball field, he was frightful. He was the weakest man I ever saw on the curveball, and he couldn't hit an inside pitch past the box. It's a rip fest on Jigger Stats is hitting. This is brutal. There's another great headline during his time with the Dodgers, June 4th, 1928, the day before. The Dodgers lost 9-7 in 14 innings at Ebbets Field. At issue, Stats appeared to make a catch of a Pie Trainer line drive in center field. The catch would have ended the inning and keeping the game at a 5-5 tie. Instead, this is from the Brooklyn Times Union. I'll just read the thing. Two outs and Wright and Barnhart on the bases. Pie Trainer wafted a looping fly behind Bancroft and Stats came tearing in as only he can. When the ball was inches from the ground, the Jigger was yards away. But he made a superhuman spurt and flicked the ball from the top of the grass with his gloved hand, straightened up, and proudly tossed it to the infield, confident that he made a fine catch and retired the side. However, the umpire said, no, he trapped it. So in the bottom of the ninth, that scored two runs. So it's 7-5 Pirates. Bottom of the ninth, and Stats actually hit in that inning. Brooklyn fans started throwing bottles at the umpires. One of them almost hit Stats while he was hitting. The headline, though, was what drew me to this. It's Jigger Stats, innocent cause of barrage of pop bottles. this is also from the article, this running theme of wonderful names, noting the next day's Brooklyn starting pitcher, quote, Douglas McWeeny, the Chicago Irishman, will be sent against the Pirates today, and the Windy City Celt, with a week's rest under his belt, is out to register decisively this afternoon and leave nothing to the hairline decisions that mark the defeat of the Dodgers in the series opener. That is just an appetizer. This is only basically covering the two Dodgers years of his career. And there's so much more to Jigger Stats than this. We will get into the rest of his incredible career after the break. Okay, so have I wet your whistle regarding Jigger Stats so far? What are your thoughts on his Dodger days? What do you think?
I mean, you know, we kind of went over, you know, we didn't do clearly as deep of a dive as you did, but when we did our sort of the Major Leagues episode, he was clearly one of the heroes of that episode.
For sure.
So yeah, I'm excited to learn more though.
So there's so much more to his career. In 1942, skipping ahead a little bit, he was managing the Los Angeles Angels while playing. This was in the Pacific Coast League. He gave a quote to the Van Nuys Valley Green Sheet. First of all, there were like a billion newspapers back in the day.
Say, Van Nuys had a newspaper?
Right. this quote pretty well summed up his ethos. Quote, there are two essentials, speed and a good arm, that are a firm foundation for a baseball career. If your hitting is only fair, don't become discouraged because good hitting can be developed. And to, in fairness to him, judging by his career, he would know. going back, Stats originally signed with the Giants in 1919 out of Holy Cross. He hit 300 in 21 games that year, just sort of limited time. He started 1920 with the Giants, and then he was placed on waivers and then claimed by the Red Sox. But he only played two games with Boston before they sold him to the Los Angeles Angels of the PCL. So this is 1920, his first time with the Angels. Now, he played with the Angels. He stuck with them in this stint through 1921. So basically two seasons here almost. They were independent, the LA Angels were, but they were owned by William Wrigley, who also owned the Cubs. They played at, there used to be Wrigley Field in Los Angeles, and it's no longer there. But so for 1922, though, the Cubs traded for Stats. You know, Wrigley deal, basically. But he spent spent most of his next four seasons with the Cubs. He did pretty well. He hit 295, a 350 on base, 94 OPS plus, and obviously like really great defense. He went back to the Angels for the bulk of that fourth year with the Cubs, 1925, and then for all of 1926. And then he won the PCL MVP in 1926 with, speaking of eye-popping numbers, he hit 354 with 68 doubles and 18 triples. Now, you have to, like, look back here. At the time, like, the PCL, they played an insanely long schedule. I couldn't find exact numbers, but, like, I think most years was between, like, 180 and 200 games. One of the teams he was on later on, I think in the 30s, I believe their record was 137 and 50. And I think they were like widely considered, if not the best, one of the best minor league teams of all time. But in this 1926 year, Stats played in 199 games and he won the MVP. He had 291 hits. So that's the Dodgers acquired the rights for him in September 26th, and he played for them for 2 years. That was his age 29 and 30 year seasons with the Dodgers. And then after his Dodgers years, he went back to the Angels, and he stayed there for the next 14 years. He just kept playing. He had 8 straight years of at least 200 hits with the Angels, the second stint. He at least 308 every year of that stretch. He was mostly full-time until he was age 43 in 1941. His final 3 years with the Angels, this was 40 to 42. Stats also managed the team. So by the time he went back to the Angels, Stats was living in Los Angeles. This is a nugget from Stats' Sabre bio written by Bill Nowlin. It mentioned he had 4 kids at the time. I think they used like 1930 census data, or maybe it was how they figured this out. But one of his kids was named Virginia. And it says in the Sabre bio, Virginia, known as Janie, became a rodeo performer and trick rider. I love that little piece of trivia. Or per multiple reports, Stats had numerous opportunities to return to the majors with the Cubs, but he was pretty happy with the Angels. By, I believe, 1932 was the first year the Angels were actually became affiliated with the Cubs. So, like, they were an actual affiliate of the Cubs rather than independent. However, the minor leagues at that time were also, like, it was a pretty good way to make a living. So a lot of players simply just stayed there. And this was another quote from the Corona Del Mar Historical Society. This is where Stats later lived, later in life. That's why they have a lot of this stuff. But, quote, it was a warm climate, the intimate ballparks, and the competitive salary that I liked about the Pacific Coast League, he once explained. So in all, Jigger Stats played 18 years for the Angels. That's in addition to his major league years. He holds the PCL career records for games played, at bats, runs, hits, total bases, singles, doubles, and triples. Buzz Arlette, the player we mentioned previously, who the Dodgers wanted to trade for in trade Stats for in 1927, he has the PCL career records in home runs and RBIs in his 13 years with the Oakland Oaks. So in 24 years combined as a professional, Stats had 4,093 hits. like 3,300 of those, I think, or something like that. I think it's 3,300 something with the PCL. I was the only other players I could find with 4,000 hits professionally were Pete Rose, 4,683 counting the minors, Ichiro, counting Japan, 4,367, Ty Cobb, 4,355, Hank Aaron, 4,095, and Stan Musial, 4,001.
So I did. This is the one aspect that drove when we were doing the episode and I researched him, and that was a little blurb in the Wikipedia article for him. I was just like, what? What a great trivia question.
Right.
And so I have a few more names for you that I believe in, because the list you have is the one I had seen, but doesn't include Negro Leagues and other sort of smaller like Mexican League and leagues that just don't have as much stats. So this is still an incomplete list because of how we don't have all of the Negro League stats. But three other names you can add are Julio Franco, Manny Munoso, and Derek Jeter, actually. That's when I haven't figured out, like, how that list got, how he, like, if there was, like, another league that didn't get counted, because I also haven't seen his name listed a bunch, so.
I wonder if maybe when Stats article got written, Jeter might have still, like, been playing.
And so I'm like, actually, okay, so Franco and Jeter, I'm reading the Saber article, are including playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Mini Minoza still played in at least in a bunch of leagues, and I haven't found the article that I found to quote that. And again, there are, I would guess, a good shot that there's others playing in those leagues. But still, of what we know for sure, are rare, incredible troll, absolutely.
He also, Stats played in 3,473 games, and I'm sure, like you mentioned, there's probably others. I found six players who played more. Pete Rose had the most, 3,916. But I mostly did this so I can say that Eddie Murray was played in 13 more games than Jeter Stats, 3,486 between the majors and minors, not counting the playoffs, though, so who knows. In 1941, getting back to sort of the size of Jeter Stats, in the San Bernardino Sun, Jack Gunther wrote of Stats and how he stayed so trim. Quote, how does he do it? The answer is simple. He calls it weight control. The Jigger stands only 5 feet 7 inches tall, and he keeps his weight around 145 pounds by consistently avoiding desserts. Boo. One season he failed to follow his policy, and he reached 153.
Wow.
Well, for the first time in 8 years, his batting average dropped below 300. Needless to remark, his weight this April will be 145 pounds. So incredible. So actually, I'm looking at this. So that would have been, I believe, 1937, the year that he got below 300. So incredible. But now we bring us back to our trivia question. The famed 139 hit club, Dodgers with exactly 139 hits in one season, the number that everyone talks about. You have, you know, Barry Bonds, 762 home runs, it's Hank Aaron, 755 home runs, you know, Pete Rose, 4,256 hits, Dodgers with 139 hits in a season. It's all the same. Like, we all talk about these around the dinner table. So, Jacob, there are a total of 14 players, Jeter Stats included. How many others can you name? And would you like any hints?
Like, how do we even go about this? Because that's not a super impressive total. So, like, I'm tempted to go by still kind of volume, amount of seasons played, just because they have the most lottery tickets. But yeah, I'll take some hints, I guess.
Okay, so I'm gonna let's limit this a little bit. So, I will say so of the 14 the 13 non Jigger Stats people, only one is in the Jacob era. Only three are when you were alive, and then only five with the LA Dodgers. So let's limit it to the LA Dodgers for a moment. Would you like me to give you years?
Sure.
Okay. Let's start with the one that's in the Jacob era. 2019.
Jock Peterson.
No, but I will check what he how many hits he had that year, because that's not a bad guess. 112 hits for Jock that year. I will say the person with 139 hits on the 2019 Dodgers was second on the team in hits. And I'm looking. He is the second oldest Dodger with 139 hits in a season.
Justin Turner?
Justin Turner is correct.
Yeah. Age
34. Okay, the other one is 1996. This is a player who not in this season. Wait, is it this season? Oh, in this season, he won Rookie of the Year this season, 1996.
Is that Hollinsworth?
It is. Another one is 1992. The other one who is alive in the Jacob era of life. This player was a shortstop.
I don't got it.
Wait, are you sure?
I think.
I'm going to try to give you another error. Another hint, but I have to look this stat up really quick. He made 42 errors in this season.
Steve Sachs?
No, this was a little bit after.
Tapping out brains.
Jose Offerman.
Oh yeah, I wasn't going to get there. It's late enough for me.
So of the other, everyone else on the list, there's one Hall of Famer, and it was in 1957. Do you have an idea?
Jackie Robinson.
No, Robinson's last year was 1956.
Way off. Nope.
Okay, going back here. This doesn't really give it away, but 1980 was another LA Dodger, 139 hits. He also stole 23 bases that year.
Davey Lopes.
Yeah, that's right. Oh-hoo! See, I thought I was going to give it, and then I looked and I was like, wait, that was a down year for steals for him. Like, but I figured the fact that I said stolen bases. Okay, so I'm just going to give you the rest. Sounds like you're...
Yeah.
Yeah. 1976, Ron Say. He's, you know, the rest of them, no one famous. Previous Dodgers rewind, Red Smith, 1912, third baseman. Duke Snyder was 1957. That was the Hall of Famer. Bruce Edwards, a catcher, in 1947. Joe Stripp in 1936 was a third baseman. Lonnie Fry was a shortstop and third baseman in 1934. Jigger Stats in 1927. George Cutshaw was a second baseman in 1915. Bill Dolan in 1902. And Mike Griffin.
Wow, you didn't let me guess Mike Griffin. I would have gotten there.
Mike Griffin led the National League in doubles that year with 36.
Tell me more. Tell me more about Jigger Stats, please. We need to cleanse the palate of this
139 hits. So Jigger Stats played himself in a movie called Fast Company in 1929. I looked at it. I didn't look it up, but didn't see exactly what the movie was about and why. I'm sure baseball was involved if he was playing himself, but he was a technical advisor on a movie called The Winning Team in 1952. Now, this was a movie about Grover Cleveland Alexander, the pitcher. And that pitcher, Grover Cleveland Alexander, was played by Ronald Reagan in the movie. Stats was inducted into the Pacific Coast League Hall of Fame in its inaugural class in 1943. He later worked as a scout for the Cubs. He also managed Visalia, then known as a Class C affiliate of the Cubs in 1948 and 1949. This was a few years after he stopped playing. Incredible baseball life. Stats died at age 90 in 1988 in his home in Corona Del Mar. So what an incredible baseball player that I'm glad we took the time to sort of look back on.
Yeah, I'm curious what Fast Company was about. All I know is the tagline was "Move along, we're on our way for a big laugh."
I mean, I'm sold. I think we should let's do a Fast Company movie review.
This is a Wikipedia. Egomaniacal baseball slugger Elmer Kane is not only good; he enjoys telling everyone how good he is. A professional scout, Burt Wade, takes an interest in Elmer, who in turn takes an interest in Evelyn Corey, an attractive actress.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wade cons the ball player into thinking the actress is falling for him, which inspires a home run from Elmer to win the big game. So it's basically The Natural, is what I'm hearing.
I think they ripped them off.
I think these four people who wrote this story have a case.
We'll dig into that on a future episode, but that's all for today. Thank you for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the Jigger Stats story, and we'll talk to you at a later date, probably next week. Thanks for listening, everybody.